You read the Bible, Greg.
Talking to me?
I'm a law samurai. Keep up.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Well, there's
so what you want?
Jesus freak.
Got a bad feeling about this.
King Kong ain't got shit on me!
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Each and every man under my command owes me 100 natural scouts.
Start see pictures, ain't you?
Oh, wow. Thank you for that.
Hello and welcome to the Film and Loathing Podcast for Sunday, April 24th, 2022. This is episode number 129, and I'm Jake.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Zach.
Coming up this week, we've got a review of Apollo 10 and a half, currently streaming on Netflix. We also might talk about some other stuff that we watched, whatever else comes up along the way. So thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. Glad to have you with us. Good to be back. How you guys doing?
We're here. We are here.
Yeah.
We're here and full of cheer. We're ready to talk some Richard Linklater.
Classic
Chris's,
Linklater.
Chris's favorite director.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a bold claim. It's not the Berg, okay?
Not the Berg? Pete Berg?
Yes, Pete Berg. Weird, I know, but I'm just a huge fan.
Love Lone Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Really just loves Deepwater Horizon.
Anything with Mark Wahlberg really running through, really anything, and explosions, all in.
Does that mean you're going to watch Father Stew?
No. I'm not.
What if the original director had finished the movie?
No.
Originally supposed to be a David O. Russell movie.
Yeah, but then David O. Russell, didn't he pick up a bigger project?
Something like that. I don't really care what David O. Russell's doing.
Oh, yeah. I think his next movie's got, like, Margot Robbie and John David Washington in it, I want to say.
Dude, I've looked at that cast list on IMDb, and it is crazy. Like, there's so many big names on that list.
Yeah, which... I'm not even a big David O. Russell fan.
I would go as far as to say that I am the Fighter fan, and I hate everything else.
I have been thinking, like, I would like to re-see American Hustle. It's been a minute. Not sure I would like it anymore, but I'd still like to see it.
American Hustle?
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a while. It's been a while since I've seen The Fighter. Actually, have never seen Three Kings, which I would like to see.
I saw a Still Nice Playbook like 4 times in theaters.
Yeah, I know. Everyone knows.
And a million times on DVD.
Yeah, no Netflix, but once they do their crackdowns, I may not have a Netflix account anymore.
Yeah, that sounds about fucking right.
Once every streaming service does its crackdown, Chris won't be able to watch anything.
I'll have no services. Everything is through someone else.
He's only going to be able to watch like the one copy of The Mummy he has on DVD that he borrowed from his mom.
I'll have Hulu, but through Alyssa.
Well, at least you're in the same household for that one.
That's what I'm saying. I can't escape that. Everything else, though.
This podcast turns into movies you can only watch on Hulu or in the theater.
My palms are sweating is all I'm saying. There's just so many services out there. There's so many.
No one's saying you have to get all of them, but you should at least pay for one of them.
Why, though? Why would I pay for it when everyone else can?
Spoken like a mooch.
You make it seem like I should be disappointed about that. Be fiscally responsible over here, my guy.
I pay for services that I forget I pay for until they get taken out of my account.
Oh, I know. I know what services you pay for, Zach.
Yeah, I know. I know. That Pornhub premium always sneaks up on you.
Oh gosh, I have every service short of like Pornhub premium.
Yeah, I wish there was a better way to keep track of all the OnlyFans I've got. Those sneak up on you.
Oh my gosh. Just gotta keep reminding yourself it's for a good cause.
Yeah, dude, those people.
I may be hurting right now, but I'm doing a good thing by paying for titty pics.
That's a good day. That's a good excuse if you were subscribing to OnlyFans and someone catches it.
Supporting small business, dude.
Yeah, just helping put food on the table.
Small business, small titties. You know, it all equates.
It all.
Oh, man. I got rid of my TV out of the house for, like, a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Why? You're just that busy? You didn't want distraction?
Well, I mean, that plus, like, I kind of wanted to purge for a little bit. Or not. Yeah. That's not the right word. Purge is, like yeah. kind of, like, taking in. I wanted to, like,
cut out. Purge is expel to get rid of.
Then I wanted to purge myself from television for a minute.
What did you do with your TV? Like, drop it off at a friend's house?
Yeah.
And then you got it back?
Then I got it back.
Interesting.
I know. It was an okay investment. An okay investment of my time.
Did it work? Did you purge?
Yeah, it was nice. Since it's gotten back, though, all I've wanted to do is get rid of it again.
Really?
Yeah. Done with TV, dude.
Really?
I think so.
It's all about movies now?
Mm-hmm. Here's what I will say. There are some shows that I think I would have a difficult time going without. I own them on DVD, or at least I own two of them on DVD. I have The Office, and yep. I have Californication.
Those are the two shows you could not go without.
Those are two of the shows I couldn't go without. So that's not like that's the limit. I would want to get like Parks and Recreation. I know Alyssa would want to get like The Sopranos and stuff like that. And there's a couple others that I probably would throw in there. But all in all, just, I'm done. Done with TV. It seems boring.
You're talking about like television shows.
Television shows, but also like the television.
You're just done with it.
Done with it. Fed up. Hit my limit.
Why? What happened?
It's just like, I don't know. It's just like, how much time do you realistically think you spend a week watching TV?
I mean, I always feel like I'm getting something from it, so.
And that's great. Because you're probably watching, like, productive movies. Because you enjoy that, you know? I'm watching the Goofy movie.
Yes,
productive. And then extremely goofy movie.
Like when I watch Shooter and Lethal Weapon in the same day.
Yeah.
Yes, productive movies.
But you're not limited to that. There are other things that you're giving your time to, right?
Yeah.
Or sure. Is it just Lethal Weapon?
It's only Lethal Weapon at this point.
Yeah. Just thank goodness there's more than one of them.
Yeah, there's four. I watched the first two already. I'm going to watch the next two one day is when I'm working from home.
Oh my gosh, you're living a good life over there. You ever get bored of it, though?
Watching TV?
Just having a TV around? Like, having the option?
Nope.
No?
I mean, I like watching movies. I don't necessarily enjoy watching TV shows. I don't know. Some of them are better than others.
I think like I'm starting to enjoy the experience of watching the movie, because I think that's been mostly the case, is that it's not that I've enjoyed the movies per se, but it's more of like I've enjoyed the experience of watching the movie.
Well, 2022 is a good year so far.
Really? Yeah.
I think so.
I can't think of one thing that I'm like super excited about
to come out Avatar down 2. The road.
To either to come out or that has come out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's the Batman. I think I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I really liked a lot. Saw The Northman last night. Saw
that's probably the one.
The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which like I don't, it wasn't as good as I was hoping for, but like, I still think it was better than a lot of stuff that came out last year.
I really liked the concept and the idea, and then when I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, that looks terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of catering to a lot of, like, internet memes and shit, but like, I still think it's better than a lot of stuff that came out last year.
The Northman, I'm excited for. I have yet to watch X, but I'm excited to watch that.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That's pretty
good. Like, I don't know.
Avatar 2 is coming out this year.
Yeah, Avatar 2 is coming out this year for like 6 years, so I'll believe it when it's physically playing in a theater.
Avatar 2 is coming. I mean, I'm excited to see the spectacle of Top Gun Maverick in theater. Whenever the new Mission – well, I guess Mission Impossible got pushed, but
– does Tom Cruise fly his own fighter jets?
Yes.
And the Spider-Verse movie got pushed again.
Yeah, that got pushed.
So when?
But you didn't even like the first one.
No, I didn't. No. Fuck that movie.
Which I don't understand the hate, but, you know, that's fine.
Why? Because I'm a child. I don't watch animated movies.
I mean, Ambulance is out, which you just gave 4.5 to, Zach.
Great. I love that movie. That's probably right now my number one movie of the year. Currently.
I don't know. I just think there's some good stuff. I think there's some other stuff coming out later on. Like, supposedly, we'll see if this all happens, but maybe Ari Aster's movie comes out this year.
Everything that I have seen trailer for, that they say is coming, I've been like, yeah, who cares? Like,
yeah, but trailers
are Lightyear movie. Don't care about the Buzz Lightyear movie.
Bullet Train looks kind of fun. I'm excited.
Is that Brad Pitt one?
Yeah. I don't know. I think 2022 is going to be a decent year. Like, I'm excited for new Jordan Peele movie, the Alex Garland movie.
Yeah, I don't really care about the Jordan Peele movie, but the Alex Garland movie looks interesting.
That looks good. Like, Worst Person in the World's coming out on Criterion in June. I'm excited to see that. There's some stuff. There's some stuff out there. After Yang just came out, I want to see that.
Maybe. I guess I still haven't seen the new Scream movie. That came out this year.
The guy that did The Art of Self-Defense just had a movie come out, which sounds interesting. I'd like to see it.
Duel? Jesse Eisenberg?
Again? Yeah, that movie. But no, Jesse Eisenberg's not in this one. I don't know. I think there's some interesting movies this year. I'm excited. I would say I'm more excited this year for things than I was last year. What the fuck is this? You can do that?
We're on an airplane, my guy.
Why is there a conference table in an airplane?
That's a good question.
Because we're doing business right now, Jake.
Oh, fair enough.
Oh, I forgot about Secrets of Dumbledore.
Yeah, how could you forget about the Secrets of Dumbledore?
Did you guys see that, like, 30 seconds of that movie was cut for distribution in China?
That sounds about right.
Was it gay stuff?
Yes.
It's always that. No balls. They have no balls, these people.
I don't understand calling it Secrets of Dumbledore. Like, is that really a secret anymore?
It's a bigger secret that he's into fisting.
That I would watch.
That, yeah, I was about to say. Watching Jude Law take a fist would be a sight to see.
Did Johnny Depp get fired from this movie because of the Amber Heard allegations?
Yep.
So he got cost a franchise because of...
He got costed two franchises because he was fired from Pirates of the Caribbean as well.
Caribbean 6.
Dude, that's a nice nest egg for him. That's like the equivalent of all these guys doing Marvel movies.
Was that movie just scrapped entirely, or was it he just kicked out of it?
Which one?
Pirates of the Caribbean 6.
I don't know.
Because Secrets of Dumbledore, I know that that role was just taken up by somebody else, but...
How stupid do those people feel right now?
Yeah, I guess we'll see what the trials ends up verdicting, but... Is that the correct word, verdicting, Chris? You're the law guy.
What the verdict is?
I don't think there's any verdict. It's a defamation lawsuit.
It's just whether she defamed him or not and whether he gets money or not. What's he asking for?
It didn't seem like that much, like 40 mil or something.
Not that much?
Not really.
Dude, I would try to take her for everything she's worth.
Compared to the amount of money that you would be making from being in a franchise like Fantastic Beasts and Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, but you have to understand that, like, he's got to be realistic in this.
Like, what did she lose out on? Aquaman 2? Like,
reportedly, she's still in Aquaman 2.
Really? I thought she was out.
No, the head of Warner Brothers had to testify that, like, she was still involved in Aquaman 2.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Because she hasn't lost any work, and he has.
Well, I don't even think he's that concerned about that. Like, because, like, the defamation would just be like, you lied about me.
Yeah. I know, but there's a lot of surrounding information that they need to provide in order to show the effects of it. Because she's countersuing
him. Part of his finger. Is that not enough?
Well, she's countersuing him. For, like, more than he's suing her for.
They're just going to cancel each other out.
Fucking maybe.
There's a lot of shit. Yeah. Ezra Miller's now kicked out of the DC universe.
Yeah, but he's been arrested twice. Person?
Yeah, for beating up that couple in Hawaii.
He beat up a couple?
Yeah, he, like, mugged some couple and, like, broke into their hotel room and stole jewelry and stuff.
There's no way he's hurting for cash. Like, there's no way.
Did you guys see that video of him sending that message to the KKK?
No. Yeah. What did he say?
He, like, went live on... This was, like, the first time that he got in trouble. They were like, hey, maybe don't do that. Where, like, he went live on Instagram, and he was like, hey, all the KKK members in, like, such and such a town... Like, I know you guys all love guns so much, so why don't you just take them and shoot yourself with them?
Oh my fucking god!
Like, you fucking got him, Ezra Miller. Like, good for you.
Wow.
I bet all those KKK members were like, Flash has a point. We should just do that.
Flash? They probably think of him as Flash.
The Flash said I should kill myself. Oh no, maybe I will.
Oh fuck, you right. I'll do that.
Stupid. So stupid, Ezra Miller.
Yeah, he's a dummy.
What a time to be alive.
He had a cherry gig. Like, it makes me think, like, honestly, there probably is something wrong, but, like, you had such a cherry gig, Ezra Miller.
I hope that movie never comes out.
Yeah, it looks terrible.
Is it, like, fully done?
No.
Why would they even bring Michael Keaton in to play the Batman? Like, what is the point of that?
Well, it'll be, like, a multiverse Batman.
Introducing their own multiverse in DC.
That is the lamest thing I've ever heard.
Michael Keaton. Was he the one who had, like, the huge fucking... The suit that made it so he couldn't turn his head?
I think so.
If that suit's not back in that movie, though, I would be pretty upset.
It would be more funny if he's not actually playing Batman. It's revealed that he's playing Birdman.
He's playing Batman, but like a fanboy version of Batman. So he's not really Batman. He's just trying to be the Batman.
Did you guys see that Danny DeVito said Colin Farrell did a good job as the Penguin?
No, I did not see that, but...
Coming from the best Penguin of all time, I gotta say, that's a huge compliment.
It was just funny, like, people are really asking Danny DeVito to comment on that.
Yeah.
Didn't you want to know?
No, not really.
I want to know Danny DeVito's opinion on everything.
I'm kind of there with you. I want to know what he thought of the Northmen.
I want to know what he thinks about the war in Ukraine.
What does Danny DeVito think about the war in Ukraine? It's not good.
Well, Danny, again, so insightful. I just... we really need to be asking you about this stuff.
Yeah, you want to know about war in Ukraine? It's not good.
We got to ask Jaw.
Yeah, where is Jaw?
Where's Jaw?
That's still one of my favorite bits ever.
Oh, speaking of Aziz Ansari, did you see that his new movie's on hold because of allegations against Bill Murray?
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's very cryptic. I'm curious to know what that means.
I mean, it just said I read that, like, all it said was inappropriate behavior. So I don't really know, like, what that means.
Yeah, there's such a wide range of things that are inappropriate.
I feel like most of Bill Murray's life has been, like, inappropriate behavior. So I don't know, like, I wonder if he just, like, made jokes that, like, were going too far, or if he actually, like, is, like, sexually harassing people.
Smacked an intern's ass.
I feel like they would have referred to it as more than inappropriate behavior if he was, like, sexually harassing somebody, though.
But, I mean, it's Bill Murray. He's beloved by everyone.
Yeah, you can't hurt the chive community, Chris.
Hurt the chive community?
Yeah.
What's the chive community?
Yeah, it kind of died out there, didn't it?
You mean like the website, the chive?
Yeah, or whatever? Yeah. I saw a guy the other day with a chive shirt, and I was like, people still go on that?
Dude, I think that whenever I see like Barstool Sports stuff, that's still a thing.
Oh yeah, that shit's huge, dude. People love Barstool Sports.
I see the Viva La and then just the Barstool stickers all the time, everywhere.
All right, can we fucking change this together mode?
What, you don't like being in Halo?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll see what I'm saying.
Well, much better, thank you. Why am I at the end of the table?
Because fuck you.
Can you pick where I'm placed right now?
Oh, I can try. No, you're just at the end of the bar.
I'm the lonely drinker at the end of the bar.
Yeah.
Well, some quick in-house stuff before we get going here. Third and final episode of the March Madness bracket's up, so go check it out. Go see who won the horror tournament.
Who won?
That was a lot of fun. You're going to have to watch it, Chris. You think we're going to get that out for free?
Oh, the person who's part of the podcast thinking, oh, it's crazy for me to want to get the information for free. My bad.
Chris, you should have been there, bro.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Because if you had – do you know who was in the tournament?
Some obscure shit.
Not that obscure.
Like, can I long wait before I watch? Like, I've watched the episode where you listed some people, but I just want to make a prediction as to how I think it went.
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
My guess is that there were, because you did it like 1 through 16.
Yep.
Okay, so I think that you had some like very clear ones.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Some very clear ones, and then you had some very obscure 16s. My guess is Jake was trying to push for, like, the 6 through 8 range, and Zach had some hard fucking right turns where he was just like, I don't know, Slumber Party Massacre 3 was so much better than The Shining. And Jake was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
That didn't happen, but I did try to push Rawhead Rex past Alien.
He did do that, yep.
Maybe, and then I tried to say that the Blair Witch Project was better than some. And then the Cabin Fever was better than The Thing. Stuff like that.
The Thing, huh?
It was a pretty good final showdown. A lot of deliberation.
Where are we sitting right now?
I don't know. I just changed it back to the normal view for me. I don't know about you.
This is the normal view?
For me, it is. This is what it opened up to.
I'm on abstract dark right now.
Oh, I guess you can just change it for yourself then. I took it off together mode on my end.
Yeah, I'm not dealing with this fucking together mode shit.
Why not, man? We're having a good time.
No, you're having a good time.
Oh, we'll change it to the underwater one like Jake had it.
Okay, you can do that. Feel free.
Yeah, I took it off. Join? I took it off, so now you can't affect my screen anymore.
Bummer, dude. That's a bummer.
Not really. All right, let's talk Apollo 10 and a half here.
What about Minecraft, though?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Minecraft. Okay.
Yeah, you go for it.
So Apollo 10 and a half.
Apollo 10 and a half, directed by Richard Linklater, currently streaming on Netflix. Let's see. That doesn't really star anybody big. We've got, you know, Milo, Colby, Glenn Powell. Jack Black is the narrator. Zachary Levi is one of the characters named Kranz, but I actually don't remember any character names or if they even said character names in this movie. But the plot synopsis is a man narrates stories of his life as a 10-year-old boy in 1969 Houston, weaving tales of nostalgia with a fantastical account of a journey to the moon. What'd you guys think of Apollo 10 and a half, a space age adventure?
Chris?
I've been going back and forth on my feelings for this in the past couple days. I like what it's doing. I think it's really interesting, but at the same time, it just feels like it's trying to stroke nostalgia. It's not nostalgia. It's not anything that's nostalgic to me. And if it's not even trying, I guess it's trying to be nostalgic to a way of life. But at the same time, it's like, again, it doesn't ring true with me. So I have a hard time connecting with it. But I find what it's trying to do admirable.
I think that it's fine. I don't like feel like this is like. This is the problem, I guess, with this movie, which is that I don't feel strongly about it one way or another.
Yeah, I'm in a similar boat.
It played, it ended, and I was like, okay. And then I just, like, went about my life. Like, I don't get the people that I've seen, like, rating it and sharing it, being like, oh, what a great experience watching this, like, really brought me back. And, like, maybe that speaks to what Chris was saying, where, like, it's nostalgic for an era that I'm not nostalgic for. And so that could be why it didn't work for me.
Yeah, having not grown up in 1969 anywhere, like, I just didn't have, like, this nostalgia for it. So for me, it was more just a glimpse into what life was like, which I actually kind of really enjoyed a lot of that stuff. Like, I just liked this person reminiscing and seeing, like, you know, just how different life was. You know, you get a group of kids piled into the back of a pickup truck and go speed down the interstate somewhere. Or,
I mean, there are certainly, like, scenes that I liked. And I think, like, obviously this is autobiographical, but, like, a lot of it probably. And yep. I would have liked if, like, Richard Linklater just leaned into that a bit more. Like, if he was the narrator and was just explaining, and was just basically just giving you anecdotes about, like, his upbringing. I think the whole space age stuff, I really don't care about.
Yeah, it does. I definitely have gone back and forth a lot. I've been like how I feel about even including that into this movie, which I guess part of me, I guess admittedly, I don't quite understand what it's doing aside for like building upon like a time when you just needed your imagination and you needed to do, you know, just a different time where kids are creative and playing these made up games, and that kind of goes along with what this kid's like. But aside from that, I don't quite follow.
Well, and what I can say for that is like, I understand its importance, like that level of like national excitement, kind of international excitement for what's happening at NASA and what they're trying to do and how that could reverberate throughout a nation. and the effects that it could, especially on the community where NASA is there. Like, I get the effects that it could have there. It's just, I think it falls into that category of, like, I personally haven't experienced something along those lines, because it's not like, when computers were coming around is the only thing I can really think of. Like, people saw a tremendous upside with that, so, and that kind of reverberated everywhere. But we kind of were on the latter side, or the later side of that. So it just kind of seems like we don't have that place to anchor it in.
It does seem interesting. It does feel like sort of the last time as a country everybody was together about something. Like us trying to go to the moon. I guess not everybody was for that, as trying to be briefly depicted, but...
But there was excitement around overall, it. Like, regardless of...
Yeah.
But I also think, like, the movie's, like, all over the place in regards to that. Like, there's good 20-minute chunks of this movie where we're not even, like, talking about the space race.
Yeah.
No, but it does seem like a lot of it, though, is, like, a bridge between, like, the incoming generation and, like, the older generation. Because I guess there are some moments where you get to see how, like, the dad feels about things or how the mom feels about things. And then you've got... like the rebellious teen sister who has some influence on the narrator. So I guess you are sort of seeing like a cultural divide starting to happen, and like where that will branch. And this is like the one last big moment as a country before we really split and go our ways.
There are things in this movie that like I can connect to though. And I think in those moments, like I feel I enjoyed those scenes more, and it's less about very specifics with the 60s and more about like family dynamics. When you have like you were saying, the sister, and she's going over like with the younger children, like what important music is and like how to pull meaning from it. And I just remember like sitting there thinking like, oh, my brother also was like big into music at a certain point, and he showed me new music and like certain things along those lines that I could connect to. But the specifics, like following the mosquito pesticide duster thing as a way for fun, or like drinking and driving being okay back then, I'm like, it's not ringing with me. Like, it's astonishing me, but...
Yeah, that's what I kind of liked. That's what I liked the most. Like, it's like a peek into, like, an era that I wasn't a part of. Like, you know, not a lot of people just, like, share those little anecdotes. Like, it was... So I did like just seeing those things. And, like, I guess that's personally just kind of what I wish it was. Only because I know so little about that era, would have been, like, its own little, you know, history lesson in a way.
Yeah, I think... if it was, it would resonate a lot more if it was more of like a coming of age story rather than like, you're going to the moon because we were bad at calculations and we made the rocket too small. So now a kid has to go, which I really hate the fucking reasoning for that. Like, well, if you get 100 on every test, and it's like, no, but this kid also doesn't work for fucking NASA. And I would assume that the people that do work for NASA should get 100s on all of their tests. That's kind of why you're in that position.
That's something that I wanted to ask you guys about. Did he actually go to the moon?
No.
I thought not, because I thought that he was just superimposing himself into Neil Armstrong's position, especially by what they were showing at the end.
I mean, I think you're supposed to get that from the time when, at the very beginning, when he talks about how he, like, always lied. And like at show and tell, his stories became more and more and more elaborate until he was, like, you know, like, when he says that his dad was the one going to the moon, and then he was like, why can't my dad have a cool job? Like, why can't he be doing something cool and important? So I think that's just how this kid felt. Like, he was becoming that cool, important person by being the one going to the moon.
Could be. That could be.
It just seemed a little murky to me.
It definitely was not meant to be taken literally, I'm pretty sure. Most positive it's not meant to be taken literally.
I guess, like... So Richard Linklater has made, like, the definitive coming-of-age movie with Boyhood.
Yep.
And I guess I'm just not that interested in watching him like retread basically like the same ground. Because like there's a lot of things in this movie that are in that movie, and there's a lot of things in this movie that are in like most of his movies. And it's just like, besides the rotoscope aspect, like how the movie was made, which he's also done before, it mm-hmm. doesn't really feel like there was anything new brought to the table with this movie.
No, not in the way you're talking about. But I do like Richard Linklater's ability to just take like everyday people and like, you know, like make them interesting or like make their everyday lives seem like interesting or unique by like, I don't know, like bringing this like natural emotional level to it, which I do really like. And I think that was like some of the biggest stuff from this movie that I did like a lot. Like I really enjoyed, you know, like these people, you know, they go and see 2001 in the theater for a first time and how that changed you. And you listen to this band for the first time and how it changes you. You know, and maybe 50 years from now, we'll be talking about, you know, the first time we heard WAP and the first time, you know, we saw The Matrix or something.
President Megan Thee Stallion today.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't wait until I'm rich and famous and they make ask me to make a movie like this. And then I remember watching Freddy versus Jason, and that's going to be my scene of the movie.
Like, I'm pretty indifferent to the rotoscoping part of this. What I do like, though, is seeing just like some of the recreations of old movies rotoscoped. I did think that was kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's an aesthetic that really, the charm of it really, like, wears out pretty quickly.
Yeah, where, like,
it's like the first, like, 10 minutes, like, with, like, the kickball game and, like, all, like, I was like, oh, like, this is kind of cool. And then by the end, I'm just like, this, the trick is over. Like, I don't care.
Like I said, the only time I thought it was cool is, like, you're seeing the old TV shows that are in this, like, rotoscope. Like, when he's at the theater seeing 2001 and it's all rotoscoped. Like, a lot of the stuff like that, or The Sound of Music.
It a also lot of stuff seems like, that was like cool. Given, like, the current state of, like, where we are and, like, where this movie was made, like, it kind of feels less of, like, an artistic choice and more of a practical one. We're like, well, this is kind of the only way I'm going to be able to get this made with COVID. So we'll just, like, rotoscope it and...
Was it something that was, because to me it seemed like something that they filmed and then rotoscoped over that.
I think sections of it are.
Okay.
It is interesting to have this movie come out not that far after Last Night in Soho, where that movie seems to be about, you know, the dangers of wanting to go back to these nostalgic time periods, where this one is just like, no, fuck it. I'm just going to live in this past. Like, fuck what's going on today. I'm just going to go live in my childhood home.
It just I didn't know if they were trying to make it, like, a personal experience or if they were trying to make it a general experience.
It seems pretty personal. I mean, it's set in Texas. Richard Linklater's from Texas. It's pretty obvious that a lot of the stuff, I'm sure, he did as a kid.
I really hope his grandma actually believes that Kennedy wasn't assassinated.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think that's the only thing, which I'm glad it didn't.
In Cuba.
I'm glad it didn't go this route. I'm glad that the kid didn't, like, at some point, like, yeah, we just started pick up the camera and we just started making movies as a friend. So, like, I'm glad it didn't go there.
I do love the part where they're, like, in the car at the college. And he's like, Mom, that guy has long hair. Is he a hippie? She's like, yeah, that's a hippie.
Is that guy a hippie? No. But he has bell bottoms on. Oh.
Yeah,
that's a hippie. And then, like, the locking of the door was just perfect comedic timing.
Another.
Richard Linklater seems to have, like, two... Like, he's never made a bad movie, but he either makes, like, really great movies or he makes, like, movies. And this definitely falls in the category.
Yeah, this definitely feels like it's meant for, like, a different generation that we're not a part of. So I think it's just harder to appreciate.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I thought about, like, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood a lot while watching this. And that is a movie that definitely is very similar, as in, like, it's nostalgic for a time period that we weren't around for. But I think Quentin Tarantino, like, is able to make you nostalgic for a time period that you weren't around for. And then this movie does not accomplish it to that effect.
Well, because there's no goal. Like, there's nothing happening in this movie besides trying to get you to experience the time frame he's filming on.
I don't necessarily know if Quentin Tarantino makes me feel nostalgic for that time period.
It definitely, I feel like that movie definitely achieves a sense of, like, wow, like, I wish I was there for that. Whereas I don't really want to be in Texas in 1969.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe for you it does. Not
maybe
for
it
me.
Was a more appealing place then.
Both movies I would agree, though, the director being like, you know, this is an age that I liked and really wish I could go back to. Like, that definitely seems pretty obvious in both movies.
I definitely think a lot of it is just like you said, like, it's nostalgia, not necessarily for a period of time, but for a way of life, where, like, it was just simpler then. Like, the kid falling asleep in the middle of the road and, like, you know, like, they stop the car and, like, pick him up. But, like, today, like, that parent would be arrested. So.
Yeah, and I think, like, the ending sort of has something where, like, is I'm pretty sure it's something like him, what, falling asleep in the truck and his dad picks him up and puts him to bed, and that's sort of the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's sort of.
They're like afraid he's gonna miss, like, the launch, and they're just like, well, there's like this like, I don't remember exactly what it said, but this is common about, like, collective, like, memory, where it's like, well, even if you won't, like, experience it, like, everyone else will, and it will develop this kind of collective memory that you have. And that was, like, the most resonant part for me, because, like, we've probably talked about this before. Like, I don't remember 9/11, but I feel like I remember 9/11 because it was so, like, culturally significant for the United States.
Yeah,
the
right.
Coverage of it, so there's nonstop for days, weeks.
Yeah, and then that ending is definitely also sort of seems to be, like, clinging to childhood, because, like, your dad's gonna put you to bed, like, you don't have to necessarily grow up quite yet.
I'm glad that they kept it in a place of innocence, though, because there was a couple times where they brought up the Vietnam War. I'm just glad they didn't use Fortunate Son. In all honesty, that was my only check for this movie that I needed.
Please don't use CCR.
Don't do it. If I had to see them be like, and then the oldest daughter protested the Vietnam War, and then all of a sudden you hear, I would have been like, I'm fucking done.
How cool would it have been, though, if they cut to, like, a rotoscoping of her on, like, a helicopter with, like, a big machine gun going over with CCR playing?
It would have been very interesting.
I would have enjoyed it. Well, too bad Apocalypse Now hadn't come out yet, because they could have inserted, like, Apocalypse Now rotoscoped clips in the movie, where the young daughter is going through the jungle.
And this is where I feel it's personal. Like, I don't know if this is something Richard Linklater was into, but there was so much sci-fi shit. And it probably just because it kept with the theme of, like, space exploration and all that. And I didn't know if it was actually like that at the time. But I was like, my gosh, so much sci-fi.
I'm positive that's all the shit he liked as a kid. Or at least was, like, on and around in his house.
Some horror movies and all that.
But, yeah, ultimately, like, I definitely think I'll forget about this movie. Sorry, Richard, but
it's one of those movies that, like, someone will throw on a top 10 list at the end of the year, and I'll be like, oh shit, yeah, I forgot that I have seen that.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
This is basically like a maybe year ago it. When we were reviewing Mortal Kombat, and someone had mentioned that recently, and I was like, oh fuck, yeah, that's a movie that exists. That movie came out.
And we talked about it on the show.
And I, like, don't even remember anything about it.
I pretty much forgot all of it, yep.
And, like, Stowaway. I saw that when I was scrolling through Netflix, and I was like, yep, that's a movie.
Love Stowaway.
Stowaway?
See? You don't even remember it. We talked about it.
I genuinely don't.
The one where the guy accidentally gets, like, he passes out in the space shuttle and he wakes up and they all realize they don't have enough oxygen for everybody?
Yes. Yeah. Wow, that was very forgettable. Okay.
But, yeah, no, ultimately, I mean, honestly, to be completely honest with the listening audience, the only reason we did this movie is because nobody could get to see the Northmen, except for me. So we did this instead to have Chris on.
That is facts, yeah.
Which I'm glad. It's good to see you, Chris. It's been a minute.
I just want it noted that it wasn't me who said they wouldn't be able to get to see the Northmen.
Yeah, but you also would not have been able to get to see the Northmen.
I don't know, maybe.
You literally said, oh, yeah, I could do that movie because it's on Netflix. I could record this week.
This was literally like I messaged and asked if we were going to all do something together. And then you were talking about like that you were pretty busy. And then Jacob mentioned this movie. And then you were like, oh, well, yeah, that's on Netflix. I could probably get that in.
Yeah. Whatever.
I just assumed we would
that was pretty. It was choppy on my end.
What?
Well, we're pretty known for reviewing movies about 2 months after they're significant, so.
That's good, because I feel like when people review things the day they come out, like, they're so fucking, like, talking around things, and, like, when you wait a good month after a movie's released to talk about it, you can just dive in. Anyone who's gonna see it has seen it at that point.
That's our audience, guys. The people who wait two months to see movies. Yeah. There are late bloomers out there. And we're three of them.
I mean, most of, like, the reviews of movies that I watch are not for recent movies. They're like, hey, this movie came out in 1984. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like my coworker was like, yeah, I think I'm going to check out Batman this weekend. And I was like, oh, yeah, it's on HBO now. And he's like, no, I'm going to go see it in the theater. I really want to go see it in the movies. And I was like, oh, you haven't done that yet?
Death to movie theaters.
They're going to survive, Zach, just because of this year alone.
Yeah, because you have...
Probably not true.
Doctor Strange and the Batman, and they're going to survive for the exact same reason that you're complaining about.
I know. Chris, are you excited for Multiverse of Madness? Do you care?
No, I don't. Only reason I go to see that is because of them trailers.
Avatar 2.
Correct. I am excited for that.
I'm going to tear up the theater.
Are we going to review Morbius?
I have no interest in seeing Morbius.
I mean, in all honesty,
you can't tell me that you have interest in watching all of these things that you watch.
Say that again?
I said I've seen your letterbox. Like you, it seems like most of the time you're just throwing something on. You don't have genuine interest in watching Shooter with Mark Wahlberg.
Dude, these are all movies I'm watching while I'm working.
They shouldn't be logged then. You're not watching
Shooter.
Them.
Well, that's we're slow enough, so I'm watching them.
Rain of Fire is pretty sick.
Yeah, that was a good watch.
Turning Red.
Yeah, Rachel and I watched that. I was not working. Rachel and I watched that together.
What's Against the Ice?
That was a fucking turd. That was so boring. What is Against the Ice? I don't even see that on my letterbox. Oh, there it is.
Huh.
Yeah, dude, so many movies while I'm watching. Body of Lies, Dread. Deep Water. What a fucking turd.
Dude, you're a pro.
Yeah. I don't know how much I'll say about Paul Tenet. Oh, you just pay like $20 a year?
Oh. Oh. What benefits are there to paying those $20?
Unlimited lists.
Let's put it this way, Chris. I am not a pro, and I have yet to see any limitations that I need to get around.
Yeah, I don't really remember. tell you the truth, what comes with Pro and what doesn't. I think it's $20 for the year. I just do it. Who cares?
I remember being a Pro for a year just to see what it was like. And they give you, like, at the end of the year, they give you, like, a wrap-up of, like, this is your most watched director. This is your most watched actor. You watched 60% of what you watched was in this genre. Like, those statistics were cool, but you could also figure all that stuff out yourself.
But I'm not going to. So the fact they do it for me is pretty cool.
Right, but I also don't care who my most watched actor was of the year.
I don't really care.
Who was it?
That year that I did it, it was like Samuel Jackson, because he's in like everything.
I think that's who mine was last year, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see if I can get my recap for 2021. If I can remember where it is. I'm going to give Apollo 10.5 a 3.
It's a 3.5 for me.
I'm going to go 4.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Chris is planting the seeds now. He's just trying to get ahead of this top 10 list at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm playing the long con, baby.
Okay, my most watched actor of 2021 was a three-way tie between Nicolas Cage, Don Cheadle, and Woody Harrelson.
Don Cheadle and Woody Harrelson, nice.
I never would have guessed Don Cheadle.
So, because Don Cheadle is in Swordfish, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 13, After the Sunset, No Sudden Move, Avengers Age of Ultron, and Captain America Civil War. There's his 7 movies.
Wow.
And Woody Harrelson is in After the Sunset, 2012, The Hunger Games, all four of them, and Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Apparently Woody Harrelson's in that. I had no idea.
What?
I feel like the Hunger Games movie should only count as one.
Yeah.
Is it like your most like watch actor being Daniel Radcliffe because you watched like the Harry Potter movies?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And then my director was it was a three-way tie. Oh, this is gross. Three-way tie between Zack Snyder, Roland Emmerich, and Steven Soderbergh.
Zack Snyder.
Dude, coming in second place is John Turteltaub. What the fuck did I watch? The movies are John Turteltaub. Oh, the National Treasure movies. I was going to say, what am I watching? That's him.
Which tracks with Nicolas Cage.
So all yeah, pretty
together.
Pretty random 2021 for me.
What was your most watched genre?
My most watched genre of 2021 is action really a genre?
Yeah.
63 action films, 61 adventure films. Those seem like the same.
I would probably consider those one category.
So I watched 124 action adventure movies. That's then 55 dramas, 49 thrillers, 38 fantasy. Huh.
How many horror?
I watched 36 horror movies in 2021.
It's not even that many.
Not really. I wish it gave a breakdown of the genre. That would be more interesting. Oh, it does. Yeah, okay. So, I mean, like, a lot of these have multiple genres, so. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those movies pop up in adventure, too. Yeah, they do. Oh, well. You guys watching anything lately?
Well, I mean, I guess we can get into it. I finally saw The Batman the way it was intended to be seen at home, where I could pause it whenever I wanted.
Did you pause it whenever you wanted?
Yeah, I paused it like 4 times.
How do you like get the full experience though when you do that?
Because I can.
So it's a feeling of control with you.
It's more that like I don't want to be told by a movie that I have to be sitting there and watching it. I tell the movie when I want to watch it.
You don't. You could get up and go get popcorn if you wanted to.
Right, but the movie keeps going.
Oh, as soon as you lose, bud.
Oh, no. It's almost as if that's how it's always been and intended to be.
Movie's telling me how I have to watch it, and I'm just not okay with that.
Dude, can you imagine if every person in the theater had access to pause it?
That'd be so awesome.
So frustrating.
Oh, my gosh. Guys, gotta go pee. Gotta go pee. Everybody just sighs at once.
So, last night, oh, sorry, you were talking about Batman. Go ahead.
So given that I rewatched The Dark Knight as well, I feel pretty confident in saying this. I did not watch Batman and Robin, so I don't know if Mr. Freeze would be my favorite. But I do think the Riddler is my favorite on-screen villain portrayal in the Batman universe.
It's pretty good.
I think he's better than the Joker.
Oh, why do you say that?
I was just far more rewatching The Dark Knight. The Joker stuff is good, but there's a lot of problems with that movie. And I think the Riddler, he's creepy. He's very methodical. And I just felt the Joker creating chaos for the sake of creating chaos is fine. But it's also I very much prefer the Riddler's methodical plan.
So, but as far as character portrayal goes, barring plot, because that's not really anything that the actors have much control over, and how the movie progresses, but based strictly off portrayal, you think it's better than Heath Ledger's Joker?
Yeah, because The Dark Knight is all plot, and so I don't really think the Joker fits that well into that movie, because the entire movie is fucking plot. And so having an agent of chaos in a completely structured and deeply structured movie, I think it gets across what it's trying to, but I also don't think that it works that well because so much of it is structured and we don't really get to see any of the ramifications of Joker's actions. We don't get to see any chaos. We just know that he causes it. And so in that regard, I do think the Riddler is a better villain. Because he's going toe to toe with Batman and is always one step ahead of him. Joker is never really ahead of Batman.
Could you say that's because he's true chaos?
Well, I also don't think that the Joker is necessarily trying to get to Batman per se. I think he's just trying to get to Gotham in general. Whereas I think the Riddler is clearly trying to toy with Batman.
Well, I don't know. There are parts in The Dark Knight where he's in the interrogation room and Joker literally says, you complete me. We need each other because we are two sides of the same coin, basically. And so there is an aspect of Joker wants. Basically, Joker does these things because he knows it will get to Batman, that Batman will show up and he will be there. But they're specifically targeting Batman, in the Riddler's case, specifically targeting him, leaving him these notes, I don't know. I think I'm a lot more interested in that than I am the Dark Knight at this point.
And you come around on Robert Pattinson's Batman, right?
I like him as Batman. I think I like the suit. I think the suit's good. He has a good stature in the suit.
Yes.
I'm interested to see how his Bruce Wayne shapes up, but
I almost bought a Robert Pattinson Batman statuette the other day.
I have a Riddler Pop.
Oh, that's cool. This guy's in the Funko Pops now, Chris.
Okay. Funko Pop. That makes a lot more sense.
What'd you think you meant?
Soda?
I don't know. Like a lollipop. One of those toy Pez? Soldier spinning lollipop things.
You thought he had a Riddler Pez?
Pez? Oh, I got the Riddler Push Pop.
That's, I fucking know what you do. If you told me you bought a Riddler Push Pop for collectible value, I wouldn't be surprised.
I don't buy anything for collectible value.
What about what are those VHS tapes for?
You think those have value?
Maybe not to anyone else, but to you, sure.
It's for the aesthetic.
Okay. How much of the stuff do you own based around like movies and stuff, do you buy for the aesthetic?
All of it.
Oh, okay.
I don't assume any of the stuff I have has value.
But it has value to you. You collect it because it has value to you.
I'm talking about a monetary value.
Got it. I'm talking personal.
Anyways. This was the question that I wanted to pose after rewatching The Batman.
Mm-hmm.
There are hundreds of articles and YouTube videos about the connections between Batman and, like, Seven and the Zodiac.
Yes.
Do you think if you pulled Batman out, if you pulled Catwoman out, and Robert Pattinson is just, like, a detective that is Gordon's partner, if the movie is any different?
I mean, not really. Some of the stuff, like a lot of the plot stuff, sort of gets like solved and wrapped up through Batman's advanced gadgets and stuff.
Yeah, you don't have that car chase if you're ultimately, Gordon's partner.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't think it's that different.
So I guess that was kind of like my feeling, like leaving the Batman, which is that like Matt Reeves isn't that interested in making a Batman movie. He just wanted to make like this gritty like detective movie. And that's more probably the path we're going down in regards to cinema, where like massive IPs are going to have to be used for you to make any kind of like original story.
But I think that, I mean, it might work in some cases. It might not work in others. I think it works for this one, the Batman.
Well, like I guess like I was thinking like if you pulled out the man that dresses in a costume and this was titled like True Detective, starring Robert Pattinson and Jeffrey Wright. Like, I think it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, I don't think it's much different. Like, you clean up, some stuff gets changed, of course. Like, but ultimately, I don't think your story changes. How it unfolds changes, but I think your core story doesn't.
But, like, I'm just curious, like, what separates this movie from an actual Batman movie, if that's the case? Like a movie that's distinctively about Batman.
I guess like a big difference is like a lot of like, I guess it's like, I think we talked about this when we talked about Joker. Because like a lot of the Batman lore like seems kind of forced and doesn't seem to be like very well executed. And I wonder if that's because like, they don't really have much interest in making a movie about Batman. This was just Batman was basically just used to make this other movie that they wanted to make.
Well, yeah, because they didn't have any establishment stuff, like, of how Batman got to where he is. They didn't want to do that. It's been done like two or three times.
I mean,
times.
Like all the stuff with the Falcones and like in the Maronis, like all the stuff with Bruce Wayne's parents, like all that stuff is like it's pretty like non-consequential. It almost seems like they don't have much interest in like exploring it, and it's all like it's not saved for future movies. We settle it all right here, and like I don't know, it just feels like I don't really care about this stuff.
I think it's consequential for Batman.
Not really, because you set up that his parents are pieces of shit, and then Alfred like assures him like, oh no, he's actually a good man. He made a mistake.
You don't set up that he's a piece of shit. You set up that he did something wrong.
Okay. You just recently watched it, but I think it shows that not everybody is like wholly good or evil. Like everybody has a mix. Like isn't that what
except for Maroni?
Isn't that what ultimately like make Batman realize that there is hope in saving the city?
He's not revenge anymore. At the end.
Yeah. Maybe. Right.
He is hope.
Maybe. Well, I also think like that's. That's kind of what Catwoman's job is, right? Is like the juxtaposition is this is what Batman could have been if he went down a different path. Whereas like she's ready to kill Falcone, and he's more like, no, like we can't do that. This has to be done a different way.
See, this is something that I hate so fucking much is that people are like, oh, you know, Batman could have been an evil guy. Like he could have been just as bad as all these other people. But these people are as bad as they are because they didn't have a choice to be good because they had less of an opportunity to be good because he's a fucking billionaire living up in a penthouse. Like, there's something to what the Riddler was saying there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes it interesting, though, the fact that Batman does have a choice. Like, he could just choose to go that dark revenge side.
Yeah, but he doesn't seem, like, sympathetic to anybody's, like, reasoning as to why they're doing it. Like, I get it, you know? They're trying to blow up the wall that's keeping the water out of Gotham. I understand your reasoning for doing everything within your power to stop them. But he seems to, like, hate these people.
So what you're saying is that the Riddler was right all along.
I'm not saying the Riddler was right, because he definitely wasn't right. What I will say is that there is something to what he's saying.
Do you think you'd be interested in a Batman movie where he's, like, completely amoral?
You mean, like the Ben Affleck Batman, where he kills people?
No, not only that he kills people, but that he's just, like, indifferent to what happens, so he just does things for personal reasons and not for Gotham.
So he is
that Batman. That wouldn't be a Batman movie, because that's, like, against what Batman is all about.
No, but I'm saying you just take that Batman character and change it to be what I'm saying.
What would he have to fight for? The guy already has everything except for parents.
What would he fight for?
He already has everything except for parents.
Yeah, I guess the billionaire thing has kind of changed that. Huh? You could just buy whatever you want at that point.
He doesn't need it. Political
advantage or whatever. Yeah.
And that's something that, like, that's the most compelling thing I have ever found about Batman is that he doesn't need to be Batman. He chooses to be Batman because he can.
It's like nobody else can, so I'll do it.
Oh, I wouldn't say it's that nobody else can. It's just like I think setting him in a place where he realizes the capability he has over others to be this symbol of justice compared to others. Given that he has all this finances backing him.
Well, I think it's less about the fact that he's a billionaire and more about the fact that his parents were murdered in front of him.
Yeah, but realistically, you have to think, like, you're in Gotham City. Like, that has
the superheroes that aren't billionaires. So, like, the fact that he's a billionaire is not what separates him. It's the fact that he experienced this trauma at a young age. Like, that's what makes him Batman, not that he has money.
I'm not saying that necessarily, maybe not what makes him Batman, but what makes him as effective at being Batman, because there's no way he gets to the point where he's at without the billions of dollars that makes it possible for him to be separate from Wayne Industries and be an effective Batman.
Well, yeah, the billions of dollars allows him to be an effective Batman. I think Zach's right. He's probably not Batman if his parents aren't killed, because then who would care?
No. No, I agree with that. I'm just saying that I feel like compared to other people, that's what makes him a more compelling Batman.
Like Robert Pattinson specifically?
I would say the character in general, but I definitely think that it comes through a little better in Robert Pattinson's Batman. Because he's younger in this. Like, I feel like you spend more time in this movie with him kind of like in conflict with that idea.
Well, it's also like the way like how moody he is in this movie, it really feels like his parents were like just killed. And like they say like on the news report that it's been like 20 years. And it's like, get over it.
So he's how old in this movie? Like 28? Like
26, 27?
Men will literally put on a bat suit and fight crime instead of going to therapy.
Fuck it. I don't know. You kidding me? Look at that guy.
But I mean, Zach bumped it up to a 4.5, so we're not that far away from a 5 now.
It will never be at a 5.
You don't know that.
I mean, if this was called True Detective and was Robert Pattinson and Jeffrey Wright, yeah, it'd be a 5. But I think there's too many forced Batman elements in this movie that don't work.
You mean like the suit?
Like what?
His parents. The Falcone. His parents don't work? Yeah, they're bums.
They don't work.
The fuck are you doing laying down in your grave? You're not doing nothing. You're not contributing to society at all.
The opening scene, though, is my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Yeah, I like that scene a lot.
What happens in the opening scene?
The Riddler kills the mayor.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, I do like the opening up and looking through the binoculars.
Creepy.
Plus the, I don't know if it's like the Riddler's theme, but it, like, it's that song that always plays when the Riddler's around.
Can't think of what that is. Hum it for me.
It's just like a, like, it's like a woman's like voice that's just, she's just vocalizing.
Oh.
The Riddler's around. The Riddler's around. The Riddler's around.
That's what it is. Well, it's got to be the official soundtrack. Still yeah, not my favorite Batman movie, but it's pretty good.
What is your favorite?
Batman Returns.
Let's see. Well, I can mention I went and saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, which... Oh, yeah, I do recognize that. Is it called Riddler's Theme?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Well, nice. It's called The Riddler, but...
Oh, okay, nice. Yeah, I went and saw Everything Everywhere All at Once, which I really liked it a lot. I Chris, you might kind of like it. Zach, I don't know if you would like it as much as I did. I got this feeling like you wouldn't. But for me personally, I really did enjoy it. I thought it was an interesting take on like a multiverse idea. There, I thought there was some interesting stuff here. One of which being, so like, so basically it's about this, this like immigrant woman who like owns this laundromat, and she's being audited by the IRS. And while this is all happening, she gets contacted by this husband from another dimension who says that like all these multiverses are starting to collapse and they need her help. And the reason that they need her help is because she's the worst possible version of herself, which in this reality, which means that she, like, in theory, she can potentially branch out anywhere because that's how low she is in her life.
Oh, what makes her life so bad?
Well, it's like, it's comparatively like, so like, compared to all the other versions of her that you see throughout the movie, like, she's at her lowest, like, she's in a loveless marriage. They have a failing business, a crappy apartment, like, not a great relationship with her daughter. So like, all these things compared to other places, like, she's at her worst. So that's like what gives her the ability to essentially like branch out anywhere she wants. So she has nowhere else to go because she's at rock bottom.
Got it.
And so like, that's what allows her to, you know, become this hero that they all need. But no, there's like some pretty cool stuff, like being able to like access the abilities of your other selves through, like this little headset that they wear. I don't know. I just thought there were like some cool ideas in it that I really liked it. Like it almost sort of feels like a Marvel movie in that it's produced by the Russo brothers. So you know, so probably there was like some pull a little bit that you could see some Marvel things, but I do think there's a lot of like cool, unique stuff in it. Like the little kid who plays in the Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, that little kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's like one of the main guys in this. Like, so it was like kind of funny to like see that after the fact.
Who's she fighting?
I'm not gonna spoil it.
Got it.
But no, I liked it a lot. I really did like it a lot. I mean, the internet's going crazy for this movie, and I'm in agreement with them. I liked it a lot. I was pretty close to giving it a 6 out of 5.
Oh, God.
Real close, but I didn't.
2 a year.
I wanted to save it. I was worried about using 2 sixes so early, but...
So you did use one.
No, I haven't used one yet.
Yet?
Yeah, I haven't used one yet. Northman's not a 6.
You make it seem like it's crazy for him to want to use a 6 out of 5.
Well, no, he said it seemed crazy to use 2 so early in the year, which led me to believe that he is about to give the Northman a 6.
Oh, no, the Northman's not a 6 out of 5, no. I did like The Northman a lot. I'm looking forward to talking about it, but it is not a 6 out of 5.
Well, I can mention that I watched Jackass Forever.
And oh yeah, nice.
Directed by Jeff Tremaine, starring most of the original cast minus Bam Margera and Ryan Dunn, obviously.
R.I.P.
It was a lot better than I thought it was gonna be.
I mean, I thought it was kind of funny, especially with the new cast.
I liked the new cast. The stunts, like, it was a bit what I was expecting. Like, they leaned far more into the gross out stuff and less into physically harming themselves, which honestly I was fine with because I didn't want to see a bunch of men in their mid 40s like doing stupid shit that would hurt themselves. But I liked a lot of the stunts. But I loved the one where they locked those people in the room and shut the lights off and then just made them think that there was a snake in there.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Actually. I like the mime challenge.
With Tyler, the Creator?
No, the one where
oh,
they're dressed up as mimes and they're doing shit to each other and they can't make any noise. So they get the guy gets the taser on his tongue and Steve-O gets the fucking skateboard guillotine.
I don't know. I definitely laughed a lot. There was a lot more dicks in it than I was expecting.
So many dicks, especially the opening, that title thing.
Chris, have you not seen it yet?
Not yet.
You are going to love it.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Dude, that one, though, I thought was fucking hilarious where the guy puts his nuts in that little, set to make it look like a punching bag, and they have the electric little punching thing that's just pounding his nuts.
My favorite is when they make Aaron get punched in the nuts by Francis Ngannou.
Yes. That the cup check one was what made me laugh the hardest.
So he goes through four different tests, with this cup. One is being punched by Francis Ngannou. One is taking a softball to the nuts by the fastest softball pitcher. One is getting a slap shot from PK Subban. And then the other one is one of them jumps on a pogo stick and then lands it on his nuts.
Yeah, that last
those
one.
Those all sound bad. Horrible.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch it.
There's the softball pitcher, he keeps kind of like flinching, so he keeps hitting his inner thigh. And so there's a part later on where he's laying on the ground and you can see it, and it's just these biggest welts on his thigh from this just being pounded with this softball.
Yeah.
Dude, the cup survive?
Yeah.
Dude, Francis Ngannou dented the metal cup.
That's hilarious. You always get the stick.
I love when Johnny Knoxville's like, is that the hardest you've ever punched someone in the dingus? And he's like, yeah, because I've never punched anyone in the dingus. The PK Subban one's good because the first thing he does is shoots it at his face. So he takes it off the face mask, and then he's like, oh my god, that's what it's going to feel like to my nuts.
I also loved when they locked Aaron in the room, they poured honey all over him and put raw salmon in his lap, and then they just let this bear into the room. He has to just keep calm.
Yeah, there's some good stunts in there. I laughed.
Not bad. It definitely could have been a lot worse.
Oh, it could have been so much worse. Have you been watching anything, Chris? Oh, so you got rid of your TV, so I guess you haven't been watching anything.
Thank God. Oh my gosh. They covered him in honey and they sent him in. That's fucking funny. Oh shit. What? I've never been watching anything. No.
Just if you've watched anything.
I watched a goofy movie and an extremely goofy movie.
Oh my god, nice.
Oh, one thing I did watch, it's not really worth reviewing, but it's got Nicolas Cage in it.
What is it?
It's The Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Oh god.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Oh man. I wasn't even really watching it. I just kind of threw it on for background noise while I was doing my paper the other night, but that's really nice. Bad.
Yep, I believe it.
I think I saw it in the theater, actually, and I don't really remember a lot of it.
Try it.
Yeah, I did go see The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, as I sort of mentioned at the top of the show. And it really is just made for, like, Twitter Nicolas Cage fandom, which is, like, fine. I'm glad he's got his following and people love him. But I mean, I do, too, but...
We only discuss real Nicolas Cage movies on this show, like Gone in 60 Seconds.
Right.
And Knowing, apparently. And
Face Knowing Off. Is a great movie.
But, yeah, there's just, like, a lot of, like, meme jokes in there and stuff, which, I don't know. I just didn't really find that funny. But, the audience I was with, they were fucking loving this movie. Absolutely loving it. I think what's interesting is that, like, I mean, I think it's part of the joke, but a lot of it's just like how, like them talking about how like Hollywood doesn't really make original ideas anymore and stuff, and they just like generic shit, and then this is sort of just like a generic thing. Honestly, like when you break it down, and there is a cool scene where they go into Pedro Pascal's Nicolas Cage shrine, and he has an axe from Mandy on the table.
That's cool.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And they have the chainsaw from Mandy as well. Yeah, a ton of on the nose Nicolas Cage jokes, and it was fine. It just wasn't what I was hoping for, but people seem to be loving it, so I'm glad. It gives me hope for
good for them.
Gives me hope for a movie idea I have. Maybe they'll buy it for millions of dollars.
$12.
So they'll give me $12, which would be cool.
I guess I can mention that I watched Ambulance, directed by Michael Bay.
Where did you watch it?
It's not important.
Got it.
I watched it at home, the way Michael Bay intended.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is... It has a lot of Michael Bay-isms, right?
You'd want. Like,
it's 20 minutes too long. There's a lot of, like, slow motion, camera looking up shots.
Yep.
This, honestly, I will take 10 of these movies over, like, one Marvel movie. Like, this feels like a combination of Heat and Speed, which
that's cool. I don't think
would work, but it does. So basically, the movie is so Jake Gyllenhaal and the guy from Candyman are brothers, and I thought it was really cool to see Jake Gyllenhaal play more of like an asshole, like more of like a dickhead, and like the bad guy, so to speak, of the movie,
like Nightcrawler.
Yeah, but more just, like, straight up, like, I mean, like, he robs banks, like, for a living.
That's cool.
And so they rob this bank. It's supposed to go smoothly. Obviously, it doesn't. And they end up hijacking this ambulance with... So the whole, like, thing, the whole movie kind of, like, rides on this fact that, like, the guy from Candyman shoots a cop. And so now, like, they're trying to get away. Because if they get caught, their sentences will be far more drastic because they shot a cop. And basically, he has wounds, and they're trying to keep him alive so that he doesn't die, so that they don't go to jail for like 30 plus years for killing a cop.
Right.
And so they get away in an ambulance, they kidnap the EMT, and they're basically like forcing the EMT to keep him alive so that things work out in the end. There's a really cool scene where, like, the cop starts dying, and she has to perform like surgery at 60 miles an hour, like on a freeway, like during a chase. That's pretty awesome. Lots of explosions, cars crashing. But probably the best thing about the movie is that Michael Bay discovered drones, and there's just so much drones in this movie. That's so good.
Honestly, it just looked like a nice popcorn thriller, and I'm excited for that.
If it was 20 minutes shorter and they cut out some of the third act stuff, it would be a 5. But like, it is a bit too long. It's overly sentimental at the end, and like,
beautiful. That's Michael Bay for
it. I was gonna say, that's like trademark.
But it is more in line with Bad Boys 2 than with Transformers.
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. I'm excited.
And obviously filmed during COVID because it takes place in LA, but like all the streets are just empty and there's no people around. And
yep. No, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
It's good. Really? Do you recommend?
Dude, super weird experience last night. We went and saw The Northman, which I don't want to talk about The Northman because we'll talk about it in our own episode. But super weird. A guy brought a gun into the movie theater.
Like, open, intending to use it, or just like had it?
Well, I'm pretty sure just open carry, because legally you can. But it was like really off-putting, and a lot of people like standing in line were all like commenting and like kind of keeping their distance from this guy because he had a gun on his waist, and it was kind of unsettling, given that there's been like a shooting a year, like somewhere in Colorado, and there's been like history of places being shot up, movie theaters. So it was a really bold choice by that guy.
I feel like people that are really into open carry don't really get that, like, when you see someone walk into a place with a gun, their immediate response is not like, oh, he's just open carrying.
No, it's really is like,
I think they do understand that.
If that's the case, like, they do understand that, and like they know that it's just putting people like on edge for no reason, well, then you're an asshole.
Well, that's kind of my thing, is like, it just seems especially tasteless, like, when Colorado has a history of people shooting up movie theaters, and like you walk in with a gun, like, even if it is just like a pistol sidearm, like, it is like really uncomfortable.
Oh, well, that's like, why, that might be why he had the gun.
It's like, if you want to like carry one in your car, like, you want to wear one at Walmart, like,
no.
Okay. Like, I don't think you should, but like, who am I to tell you you can, I guess. But it's the people that, like, I don't know, there's all these videos of like people like open carrying into like Applebee's, and they're like, the people are like, whoa, like, hey, like, we don't want any trouble. And the guy's like, oh, I'm not here to rob you. And it's like, well, what do you think they fucking think when you walk into a gun, that like walk into Applebee's with a gun? They don't assume like, oh, he's just open carrying. Like, no, they're
he's here just to looking for rob us. He's here for the $3 margaritas.
Oh, half price appetizer, sick, has an AR-15 on his back.
Yeah, if that dude walked in with like an assault rifle, I would have walked out. I wouldn't have fucked around with that. The only thing I was like, okay, that's a pistol, like, you're probably not trying to like mass kill people because you got like 6 shots in that clip. But it was weird.
I feel like that can't be comfortable to like wear on your hip while you're watching a movie.
Well, so I think what ended up happening, because we went into the theater first, and then like we saw the woman that he was with come in, and then he was like minutes behind her. So I think they stopped him and were like, if you want to see this movie, like, we need to take your gun, and like, we'll hold it for you, and you can come get it at the end.
Yeah, because like, I feel like you can have open carry, and that's fine. But I feel like private property, you can still be like, yeah, you're not like bringing that in here.
Yeah, I still feel like, yeah, it is like business. Like, you still can like
a blunted, you know, katana just on your back. I'm trying to protect myself. Okay.
Dude, like, the saddest part was, is like, when I looked at him, it was like okay, like, I'm going to try to give you the benefit of the doubt and, like, you're not crazy, but, like, you look like a person that would shoot up a movie theater.
You have a trench coat on?
No, like,
you know, I'm sorry, I just feel like that's, like, textbook.
Well, that wouldn't be open carry anymore. Yeah, that would be concealed.
Is concealed carry legal in Colorado?
I don't think so.
But he might have, what if he has, like, the belt over the trench coat with, like, the gun outside?
Okay, that's, now we're at open carry, and that would be weird.
I think the only acceptable form of open carry is if you're, like, John O'Connor from The Mummy, and you have them, like the shoulder straps, and they're, like, right up here.
So you can just, like,
I would be, if I saw someone at a movie theater wearing that, I'd be like, oh, you a Mummy fan? That's sick.
You look like every detective from the 1920s in any movie I've ever seen.
That's just, it's a weird move. It's a strange move, and it's just a super inconsiderate one as well.
Yeah, just the whole mentality, like, I can do this, so fuck you, is like,
because
I don't know, it's like not that far off from just like where we're heading as a country.
If you, like, were to question that guy about it, he'd be like, well, I'm here to protect people. Like, if there were a real crazy person with a gun, I'm this is my right. Like, I'm just here to protect people.
Which people saying that makes them also sound like a crazy person with a gun.
You go everywhere looking for crazy people with guns.
You're here.
You're going to show up.
You're basically operating on the idea that you're going to be a vigilante, which is illegal.
Yes.
But also, like, you leave the house every day being like, yeah, I'm fine with killing someone today if I have to.
Which is also crazy person talk. But I will say the guy settled in to the movie and he looked like he was just there to have a good time. And so tensions eased up and we enjoyed The Northman.
Hey, maybe he's just really into constitutional carry. And when they said, like, hey, you can't have that in here, he was like, yo, my bad. I understand. Here you go.
I mean, I think so, because I don't think he had his gun, and then at the end of the movie theater, we saw him go up to the counter. So I'm pretty sure they made him give it up.
You're taking my rights away.
But I will quickly say that The Northman is – it's not what I expected, but I still had fun with it.
I listened to Robert Eggers on Marc Maron.
Was it good?
About The Northman.
Was it good?
No, if you've listened to him give interviews after The Lighthouse or after The Witch, like, he retreads a lot of the same ground.
Ah. He definitely has, like, a – what I do like about Robert Eggers, which, like, I could see why some people might be bugged by it, but, like, it's very obvious that he does a lot of research into just, like, the time period of certain things and, like, really researches, like, dialogue and dialect. So, like, there is some sort of, like, you know, like, Viking jargon, but way easier to understand than The Witch and The Lighthouse on a first-time viewing.
That was my concern, where it was, like, am I even going to be able to watch this in a theater? Like, am I just going to have to wait until I can stream it somewhere with subtitles?
No, it is not like that. You won't have that problem.
Although, I would imagine that that's where the studio stepped in, and they were like, yeah, you're not doing that. If we gave you $90 million, like, you're not making it so that the audience can't understand what's being said.
It does seem much bigger, yeah, because I think Focus Feature was a big, just like a big financer on this one, which is definitely like a, you know, a pretty big company.
The reported budget is $90 million.
So nice. Yeah, I mean, he's getting bigger and bigger for sure. But a lot of the Viking era stuff is like very cool. A lot of the imagery is like very like hallucinogenic, which I wasn't expecting, but like I've seen a lot of that portrayal in Viking stuff, which was pretty cool to see in this.
I'm excited. It is. I mean, listening to Robert Eggers talk makes me really not want to watch his movies because he sounds like a pretentious asshole. But I think, like, we haven't really gotten a good, like, medieval-style movie in a long time.
Nothing really, like, Viking stuff, which which is like kind of what I was excited for.
I mean, from what I read, it's basically like kind of like Hamlet. So,
yes. Well, we were looking this up after the fact. So Hamlet is based on a Viking legend, a character named Amleth, and Alexander Skarsgård's character in the movie is Amleth, and a lot of it follows that story. So,
gotcha.
Yes, it is very Hamlet-esque.
We'll see how it goes.
That's good. Alexander Skarsgård's good in it. He's really good in it.
Well, guys, I don't mean to interrupt, but I gotta go. I gotta go sign my lease.
Oh, okay. Good luck.
Peace.
Bye, Chris.
Farewell.
You know, the score for The Northman is really good too. A lot of like just like Viking sounding like horns and a lot of just like Scandinavian like deep throat singing stuff. It's really cool.
I've heard there is some stuff that like unintentionally resonates with today, because doesn't part of it take place in like Viking era Ukraine?
I don't think so.
That was like
maybe one of the I don't know. That, I think so
that was like one of the things that he was talking about. Where like, yeah, like when we made this movie, obviously we weren't thinking about that, but like a large chunk of this movie takes place in what would have been the Ukraine back then, and it's just like ravaged with war.
Oh, it could have been. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't know old fucking 1800s. Like, no, it's not even 1800s. I think it's set in.
There were Vikings in the 1800s.
No, I think it opens and it's like It just says 895 AD, and then that's the opening, and then like the next part of it is like just it just says years later, and he's an adult. So it's like the early 1900s. Sorry, the early 900s. Yes.
I'm glad this is like getting wide distribution, and hopefully it makes a ton of money.
It's very brutal at times, which is cool. A lot of like hallucinogenic drug taking, which is pretty cool.
There's no rape, is there?
Nope, no rape.
Okay. I was concerned about that.
Yeah, it's pretty on par for Viking shit.
Well, I know how like period accurate he likes to be, and I was like, oof, rape and Vikings are pretty much go hand in hand. I don't know if I really want to see that.
Burning and pillaging. There is some burning. There is some pillaging, but there is no raping.
That's good. That's good. It's a good choice.
Not even implied raping, which is good.
I would prefer implied raping, but I would also, at the end of the day, no rape is pretty good.
No too. Rape is good. Yeah, that's The Northman for you. So, you got anything else you want to mention?
That's about it.
I don't think I really have anything else. Like, I watched Spaceballs for the first time. Have you seen Spaceballs, Zach?
No. I wasn't, like, I don't know. There's things about, like, 80s, 70s, 80s comedies that I just, like, I feel like it's what you have to grow up with it for it to be funny.
Yeah, well, it seems like Spaceballs is, you know, very revered, and I think it's lesser tier Monty Python, honestly. Like, a lot of the jokes feel the sort of the same, like sort of like that dry humor, like self-referential stuff, though it's even worse like in Spaceballs, because they're like actually ripping something off as opposed to Monty Python. Yeah, a lot of it I just didn't find that funny. Like, the opening I thought I was laughing a lot, because the opening shot is like a Star Wars movie, like a spaceship is going through the camera, and then it just keeps going and going and going. So it's like this comically like large spaceship that couldn't possibly be possible. So like, that was pretty funny for like just 4 minutes. It's like a ship is going across the screen. Like, stuff like that made me laugh. And I was like, oh, that's actually going to be pretty funny. I'm excited. But a lot of like the actual like talking humor is not that funny.
Yeah, I've it's one of those movies where it's like, I'll watch it eventually because it's just like it is so revered, but I am in no rush to ever see it.
Yeah, I just happened to like, you know, it was a little bit later. Rachel wasn't around. Like, I didn't want a super long movie, so I finally threw that on just to, like, you know, just say I'd watched it. And yeah, not a Spaceballs fan, so too bad.
Too bad indeed.
Yeah, nothing really else for me. Watched Highlander for the first time. Not that great.
Highlander's great.
Not a big Highlander fan. I watched rewatched Reign of Fire. That's been a long time, which I like Reign of Fire. Actually,
that would be. I haven't seen that. Matthew McConaughey's in that, right?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey's in it, dude. So the guy who directed guy who directed Reign of Fire, he's got quite the directing cred. Really, only like three movies. He did Reign of Fire, Elektra, and the X-Files movie.
All great.
So, yeah, I'm surprised. Honestly, I'm surprised there weren't more like Dragon movies.
Probably too expensive.
Like, I was expecting the CGI to be really bad, but it's actually not.
Like, I feel like if there was a ton of Dragon movies, they basically would all look like Cue the Winged Serpent.
Yeah. There's some, like, definitely feels like there's some, like, Pitch Black carryover. Not that anybody, I don't think there's any, like, connection between, like, director or anything. But, like, there's definitely some stuff of, like, the dragons, like, shooting up over England that reminded me of, like, the creatures from Pitch Black. And, like, the dragon vision sort of reminded me of some, like, Pitch Black stuff. Yeah, I don't know what the connection is. Maybe they just really liked Pitch Black.
That'd be a good rewatch, Reign of Fire. I haven't seen that in a long time.
I picked it. Do you know what Cheap Charts is?
Yes.
So, yeah, so I was on Cheap Charts and happened to see it was – I could buy it for $4.99, so
I bought that. Money if you don't buy it.
I bought that in Highlander for $4.99 a piece.
Isn't there like a pretty prestigious Blu-ray out of Highlander?
A prestigious Blu-ray? I don't know.
Like put out by a big boutique label? Pretty sure there is.
I don't know. I mean, there might be. I've got the Beastmaster. Maybe that's Vinegar Syndrome. But I don't know. Did you pick up? Did you pick up Beauty Day from Vinegar Syndrome?
No. I did not.
I picked it up. I haven't watched it yet.
Pretty sure it's still available.
I think so. Probably is.
Did you watch any of Curse Film Season 2?
Not yet. Nope. I sort of wait for it all to come out.
I like that like it's not all like horror movies this season. That would be interesting.
Yeah, it was cool to see The Wizard of Oz on there and Stalker. I'm definitely excited to check it out. Like I said, I typically wait for it all just to come out and then I'll watch them. But yeah, nothing really else for me.
That's it for me.
Well, Chris signed off, so we don't know what we're doing next, but hopefully we're doing The Northman sometime soon.
Soon we'll do it. Soonish.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm excited to talk about it. I might go check it out again just to – now that I know what it is, it'd be cool to just go see it and take in some of the other aspects of it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's good. Well, I guess if nothing else here, as always, thanks for tuning in to us. Thanks for stopping by. Hopefully we'll get to The Northman shortly here, but as always, stay safe out there. Until next time. Bye-bye.